Y'all know what time it is. Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody. Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on, looking like a dapper don, giving a mug on, dress like a million bucks, buying things in its cuffs. Mm-hmm. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey? Oh, yeah. And listening to me, put your hands together for Steve Harvey. Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. You're listening to The Voice. Come on, dig me now. One and only Steve Harvey got a radio show. Okay, here we go. Today, folks, this is a good one. Because today, I want to share with you something that affects every living soul. And that one thing is your attitude. This affects everyone. It is your attitude. You know, I don't know if anyone's ever told you, but I mean, many of you who listen know this, but there are a lot of people who don't understand. A positive attitude can bring about a change. A positive attitude can bring about a change. Well, now here we go with the naysayers. Well, Steve, what you mean if I'm just positive being changed? My mama gone. What me being positive got to do with that? Okay, now listen to me carefully. A positive attitude can bring about change. Well, okay, Steve, I hear you saying that, but they done fired me. So now what does my having a positive attitude have to do with the fact that they fired me? Well, one more time. A positive attitude can bring about change. Well, Steve, I sat up in here and gave 8, 9, 12 years of my life to this man, and he cheated on me and walked out. Now, what does me being positive have to do with him cheating on me? How that's gonna change that? Okay, here we go again. A positive attitude can bring about change. Now, listen to the whole thing now. The positive attitude and the change that can happen starts. This is the start. It starts within you. See, life is 10% what happens. It's 90% what you do about what happens. Okay, you gave 12 years of your life to this man. He cheated and left you holding the bag, the kids and everything. Now, what does being positive have to do with changing that? Or they came in and they fired you. You lost your job that you was a stellar performer at. But now how does you having a positive attitude, how does that change things for you? So far, we can use any example. Here's what happens. When you have a positive attitude, what it produces within you is a positive approach to life. And when you have a positive attitude and a positive approach to life, it causes you to be optimistic, to have a positive outlook, to expect things to eventually turn around and turn into a positive. That's very important, because as the law of attraction comes into play, if you think positive thoughts, you attract positive things. If you think evil thoughts, you attract evil to you. You know, if you want for nothing, then nothing comes your way. If you want for positive attitude, if you want for positive results, if you want for a great outcome, that's what you attract to you. The change will begin within you. So let's take the man that walked out your life and left you holding the bag. Here's a positive attitude. Okay, two things have happened that's positive here. Number one, you've ridded yourself of someone who is obviously going to be, if not already, been toxic in your life. Caused you many restless nights, a lot of uncomfortable feelings and uneasiness, not sure, insecurity. You've been going through it with this person, whoever they are. Number one, that person has been released from your life. Number two, it allows you now to have the someone who will treat you just the way you want to be treated. That's the positive outlook. That's the optimistic way. That's when you're a positive person, you see the positive in things that happen to you instead of burying yourself under the what's wrong with it, or oh, woe is me now concept. See, a positive attitude, when they came in there and they fired you and let you go, could this not have been just the opening you needed to finally start on a new career path that you've been talking about doing anyway? Could it possibly be a brand new chance for you to get the dream job or dream career of your choice? Could it not possibly be the perfect opportunity now for you to finally, finally do something about that gift, about that talent that God gave you, that thing that you love to do? Could it not be the perfect time for you to pursue that? But if you don't have a positive attitude, then you lay there. Oh, they finna come get my house. Oh, what I'm gonna do now? Oh, this unemployment ain't enough. Oh, Lord, when this unemployment run out, what am I gonna do then? I won't have nothing. And you, oh, woe is me, until you become, oh, woe is me. But if you take it from the positive approach, some amazing things can happen in your life. I will tell you on a personal note that some of the best changes, some of the biggest moments in my life came after a loss. Some of the best things that's ever happened to me, some of the biggest moments that I've accomplished in my entire career came after a loss. So I don't want to go down the list, but boy, I could tell you, let me tell you something. When they didn't want me on the radio anymore in LA, when they was sick of the way I did radio out there, and they wanted me gone. And on May 23rd, 2000, and five, when my deal was done with the beat out in L.A., okay, look what happened, though. Yeah, I was gone in May, but in September 19th, I started the Steve Harvey Radio Network with four cities. I'm now 60-some cities, you see. But I didn't go, oh, woe is me. I said, oh, okay. God must have something else for me then. Because if he didn't remove me from this, there must be something else. Same thing can happen when you lose and you break up in a relationship. Same thing can happen to you. You never know the one God got for you. Now here you go. Here you go again. Now you get put into a situation where somebody treats you just the way you want to be treated, provide you with a whole lot of aspects of your life you knew nothing about prior to that. But you got to stay positive. You got to keep looking out. You got to keep looking to God. You got to keep believing that there's got to be something better for you, that God has a plan, and it don't coincide with your plan oftentimes. But his way is the best way. Oh, I have not liked it many times, man. Oh, man, I've had people scathe me. I'm talking about, man, people I ain't done nothing to. I don't even know where it's coming from. Just go public and just try to bury me. When they got through, man, I can't tell you what happened to me, because I ain't raised my voice back. I didn't get into that negative lane with them. I took the high road. And when you take the high road, God got something for you. So all of you out there that's struggling, that's being hated on, that you feel like your life took some turns that you have no control over, if you stay positive, that positive attitude, that optimistic outlook, that always thinking, God got me no matter what happened to me. Some amazing things is going will happen in your life. It's a fact. I don't know how it works that way. I just know that's what it is. Positive attitude is everything, y'all. So get off the old woe is me negativity train, because it ain't going to take you nowhere but down. And get your outlook up. If you change your attitude, you change your altitude. Altitude is determined by your attitude. How high you go, how big you become, how far you go, it all depends on how you think. It all depends on what type of attitude you got. Ain't no very, very successful, super negative people. It just doesn't coincide that way. If you see that, something happened to them along the way. And don't worry, you ain't got to worry about it, because you ain't going to see them long. Because you can't stay up there like that. It's just too hard. All right? That's the conversation.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, people, boys, girls, children, men, women, adults, adolescents, idiots, well-intended, geniuses,
that's me.
Mental cases, everybody.
That's me.
I think that covers the morning show.
I think you got everybody
you got
in
got everybody
one.
In there.
Yeah.
Morning, everybody.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know who the genius is. But.
We're all geniuses.
No, you're not. There's something wrong with you. Ladies and gentlemen, we are here. This is the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Good morning, Shirley.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Good. Sup, Carla?
What's up, Steve? Good morning.
Junior.
Morning,
J. Anthony Brown.
Do not address me as J. Anthony Brown. I am the Fat Panther.
Wait, what?
You what?
Fat Panther.
What does he, can you, what is going on?
Oh, just go to steveharvey.com.
I am the Fat
Panther. I'm going to have a whole video of the Fat Panther coming to work and everything.
Yes.
Oh, like
steveharveyfm.com.
Fat black ass panther. I'm more like that.
Don't be disrespectful.
Where's he from?
My hero.
Don't be disrespectful.
Do not be disrespectful to the hero.
Oh, I just got his bio.
Yeah, from the country of Paiwanda. Could you read my bio?
What's the country? What's the name of it?
Paiwanda.
Paiwanda. Where is that in relation
to Wakanda?
Close to Wakanda, but it's Paiwanda.
Oh, Paiwanda.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could you read?
Okay. Oh, okay.
If Steve is there, it's okay.
Steve, you cool? If I...
Oh, please read it.
Okay. All right. The Fat Panther.
That would be me.
Yeah. The Fat Panther's real name is Sammy Sumter. At the age of 21, while living in the town of Paiwanda, he defeated three other fat men during.
Fat guys, three fat guys.
During the town's annual pie eating contest.
It's an annual thing they have it every year. Every year they have it. Yeah, I eat the pie. I will eat the pie. Then someone else will eat the pie. They all eat the pie until there's no one left eating the pie.
And you defeated three other men
all
during
of them in
the
a row. One, two, three. Out. Done.
So after eating 99 pies.
99 pies.
What? Fat Panther bit into the 100th pie.
The magical pie.
The 100th pie. Mm. There was something different about this pie.
I said that too.
It was laced with a food potion that gave Sammy, also known as the Fat Panther. Special powers of defending
all
injustices.
Food injustice. If someone takes a sandwich, call the Fat Panther. You don't have food to eat, call the Fat Panther.
Okay, that's a good
thing.
That's
what the Fat
Panther does. The Fat Panther pies are filled with a special flavor that makes people do the right thing after he hits them in the face with a pie.
In the face with a pie.
When there's a food injustice,
call the Fat Panther.
His food senses activate. He confronts the person committing the injustice with a pie in the face.
Mm-hmm.
No meal is too small, keeping his pie on the crime
one slice at a time. I love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Fat Panther. Yeah.
Is born on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
I can't believe it. I cannot believe it.
We'll be back this with
call
more.
Call him FAP. F-A-P.
FAP. God.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it is time for something funny. As we mentioned earlier, the Fat Panther is here.
The Fat Panther, you're saying it too fast. The Fat Panther.
Fat Panther.
From the country of Fire.
F-A-P. Fap. Okay.
Fap Panther.
Fap.
Fap.
Okay. Oh, Fap. Fap Panther. Fap Panther.
Yeah. And that is what?
That's fat ass panther. And there's no TH in panther.
You're being disrespectful to the panther.
And Steve, you wanted to interview him, talk to him.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, how old are you, panther?
Say, you have to say the question, hey, fat panther, how old are you? Address me as what I am.
Okay. Hey, fat panther.
Yes.
Yeah. How old are you exactly?
455 years old.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
Fat Panther?
Yes. Hey, Fat Panther, address me as the Fat Panther. Yes.
That's what I just did.
Oh, I detect a little anger in your voice.
Who you going to get on his nerves, Fat Panther? I'm just silly.
Already.
About to be some extra adjectives.
Have you met Steve?
Are you gonna, I've heard are you about gonna him. I read a memo about him.
No!
Would you hit him with a pie?
Oh, no, no. You hit him with a pie, he can't come on the show no more.
Hey, Fat Panther.
Yes.
In your travels, do you travel to fight crime, or is everything local?
I will go wherever there's a food injustice. Wherever there's a food injustice. For instance, if mom gets up in the morning and makes the boy a bologna sandwich, and he goes to school, he's got a bologna sandwich. All the other kids have a great lunch. I'm going to wake her ass up and say, make the boy a good breakfast. Get your ass out to bed. Make some eggs and some grits. You lazy bum.
Fat Panther.
Yeah.
Where were you when Kentucky Fried Chicken ran out of chicken in the U.K.?
Oh, yeah.
I was responsible for that.
Oh.
Me?
You were?
Not alone. Not alone. I have a sidekick.
Oh.
George Wallace's mama helps me a lot in my endeavors.
He done pulled his mama in there. You're wrong.
She's my sidekick, the real Fat Panther. I'm the Fat Panther. She's the real Fat Panther. Sometimes we call her the really, really Fat Panther.
Same person, though.
Same person.
Any more questions, Steve?
Well, one probably, I don't know if this is the last thing, but Fat Panther.
Yes.
How much do you weigh?
Oh, that is a good question, Steve.
As old as he is?
Yes, about the age that I am.
You about 455 pounds?
About on a good day, yes.
Well, you can't run and say nobody.
No, it's not running. I show up. I don't run.
I was going to ask you, what was your mode of travel?
Oh, I don't. No, you got it all wrong, Steve. I don't run. I just show up.
You just show up. Oh, you just appear in the cartoon.
Oh. Damn, I got high blood pressure. I'm sleeping with a CPAP machine. Oh, there's no running. Trust me, Steve.
Speaking of food injustice.
Well, you wouldn't take respect from a real skinny man. The other panther. The other panther, he has a job to do. The fat panther is just here fighting food injustices. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's all.
Have you heard about there's a peanut butter shortage that's happening in Georgia? Are you aware of that?
Anytime there's a food shortage, I talk to my sidekick, the real fat panther, George Wallace's mama, to find out where the food is going. If it's nuts, kumquats, grapes, popcorn, chicken, honey buns. She likes honey buns a lot. She has a recipe. She takes four honey buns and a big slab of bologna and some cheese. Mm. Oh my God, you should see her eat that.
Honey bun and bologna?
And cheese.
And cheese.
Together?
What is it, a sandwich?
Yeah, I guess it is a sandwich.
Too much. Honey bun sandwich.
Have y'all heard about this new Fat Panther? Let me ask you something. Yeah. Have you heard about this new restaurant that I'm excited to want to go to because they've done a spinoff of chicken waffle, chicken and waffles, and they do they do donuts and chicken. Glazed donuts and chicken. Have y'all heard about this place?
That sounds good, though.
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
No, it's a place that does huge glazed donuts and fried chicken.
That sounds, just thinking
I'll
about
do that.
That sounds
Dog,
good.
That's,
ooh, man. My cholesterol is going up as we speak. Ooh, my blood pressure is rising already in the room.
Are you healthy enough to carry on this?
I don't
know. Fat Panther sound like he could die on the next mission.
What is your next mission?
The danger of him is every mission could be his last mission.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's just why I don't run.
Hopefully ain't none of these food injustices upstairs.
I got to go up there.
If it is on the fifth floor, I'll deal with it when they come downstairs. I'm stopping it before he does.
We love having you, Fat Panther.
All right, I'll be there. I'll be around.
Much love, Pat.
Much love. Steve, are you there?
No. Well, yeah, I'm here. I didn't want to be. Yeah, I'm here. Thank you so much for coming, Fat Panther.
So really, Steve, there's a peanut butter shortage in Georgia? I didn't know that. All right.
No, I'm sorry, Shirley. I was just playing the game.
Coming up next, it's The Nephew and Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with today's national news. But right now, it is time for The Nephew and Run That Prank Back.
We're going to run that prank back.
What you got now?
We're going to order pizza from the penitentiary, okay? That's all. Something real simple.
Yes,
order pizza
normal.
From the penitentiary, all right?
Play too much.
Prisoners need pizza, too.
General Pizza, may I help you?
Hello, I'm trying to order pizza.
Okay, can you hold for me, please?
All right.
Okay, sorry about that, sir. Can I take your order?
Yeah, I need to order 10 pizzas.
You want 10 pizzas? And what kind of crust was that going to be?
I need 6.
Sir, can you talk up on me, please?
I need 6 cheese pizzas.
Six?
6 cheese pizzas on thin crust.
What kind of crust was that again?
Thin.
Thin. 6 cheese thin crust pizzas. And do you want any other toppings on that, sir?
No, I need two meat lovers.
What was that again? Can you speak up a little bit? I'm really having a hard time hearing you.
I need 2 meat lovers.
2 meat lovers, is that?
Yes, 2 meat lovers.
2 meat lovers pizza. Okay, and what kind of crust would you like on that, sir?
That's thick crust.
You said you wanted thin crust on that?
Thick.
Sir, I'm having a really hard time hearing you. Can you speak up for me?
I need 2 meat lovers with thick crust.
Thick crust. Okay.
All right. And then the last is 2 veggies on thin crust.
2 bed sheets?
Veggies.
Veggies. 2 veggies. 2 veggies on the thick crust.
Do y'all deliver to gated community?
Okay, can you hold for a second for me, please, sir? Okay. Sorry about that, sir. Okay. Can I get your phone number?
342-689.
Okay, I heard 342-689, but I didn't get the rest of those numbers. Can I get an area code or?
No, my number 342-689.
Okay, I need to get the whole 7 digits and the area code so that we can put you in the computer to try to find your location.
I told you my number. My number is 342-689.
Okay, sir. Let me get my manager on the phone. Excuse me, wait. There's no phone. Uh-huh. He's giving me like 6 numbers.
I'll take care of it. Sir, how are you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
All right, I ordered 10 pizzas, 6 cheese pizzas, 2 meat lovers, and 2 veggies. I'm trying to see if y'all have a problem delivering to a gated community.
Oh, not at all. We deliver to a gated community all the time. Let me just get a number for you and an address.
Right. My number 342-689.
Sir, that's only 6 digits. We need 7 digits. Well, actually, your area code plus your 7 digits.
Okay. I don't. If you just leave it with the guard, he'll make sure I get it.
No, sir, I don't think you understand. I need to have a phone number where I can call you. We can go in and out of the gate. That's not a problem. When I get there, I want to deliver directly to you.
You can't go in and out that gate. Listen, you can't go in and out that gate.
Sir, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up some?
Okay. I'm trying to get 10 pizzas delivered, and you just drop it off with the guard.
Sir, I understand what you're saying. I'm trying to deliver the pizza to you directly. The guard is not who's getting the pizza, right? I'm delivering it.
Well, he gonna pay you. I'm cool with the guard. He gonna pay you.
Okay. Well, where are you located? Let's do this. Where are you located?
I'm in Angola.
Angola?
Angola.
Where is Angola?
Angola. Y'all don't know where Angola. I'm in Angola.
Angola, Louisiana?
The penitentiary.
Huh? So we can't deliver pizza to Angola penitentiary?
Look, I ordered 10 pizzas from her. Six cheese pizzas, 2 meatloaves, and 2 veggies. Look, I can't be on this phone too much longer.
Listen, sir, I know what you're saying, but we're not delivering to Angola. Do you know where we're located? You got to call somebody. We're in Dallas. Look, you got to call somebody in Angola, Louisiana.
Look, I'm trying to get these 10 pizzas. Look, Lady, I'm not finna go back and forth with you.
Exactly, and I'm not going to go back and forth with you either. We are unable to deliver this pizza to you, okay?
Why?
Because you are in the penitentiary, sir. No one delivers pizza to people in the penitentiary.
People in the penitentiary can't order pizza?
No, sir, they cannot. We do not deliver to the penitentiary. And then we're in Dallas. Do you know how long it would take to get pizza to Angola?
I don't give a... Let me tell you, okay, who the manager there?
I am the manager. You're speaking with the manager.
What's your name?
Never mind what my name is. Just know that I'm the manager.
Okay, let me say this to you, since you're the manager there. If I don't get no pizzas here tonight, when I get out in 3 years, I'm coming down there and I'm going to f*** you up.
So who the f*** you think you're talking to? You ain't going to f*** me up. In 3 years, I won't be here. But matter of fact, I just might stay here for 3 years. So when you come back...
Let me tell you something. If y'all don't bring these pieces to this penitentiary and get it to the guard before he get off work, then it's going to be some around here. Now, I didn't order these 10 pizzas, and everybody on the cell block is waiting on them.
Sir, I don't care about you and your folk on your cell block. You are in the penitentiary, and I don't even know why you calling. Are you on my phone? This is a business, okay? And I have a job to do. I am not delivering pizzas to a penitentiary.
So y'all discriminating about where y'all bring pizzas at?
No, we don't discriminate, but we ain't located in Angola unless you're going to give me some petrol for my metro. I ain't coming.
Let me tell you something. I want you to remember these numbers. 342-689. If you see that spray painted on your house or that damn pizza place, then you know my thing got out and I'm looking for your 342-689.
I don't give a about 342-689 and 743. What I'm saying is your is grass if you come up here in 3 years, and guess what? Don't drop the soap.
Who you think you talking to?
That's what I said.
Who you think you talking to?
You better get off my phone.
I got one more thing to tell you before I get out in 3 years. What? These are the last words I'm going to say to you.
Hey, what's that?
You listening?
Yeah, I'm listening. Say what you got to say.
This is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your girlfriend got me to prank phone call you.
Oh, my goodness. You got to be freaking kidding me, man. Oh, my God. Oh, God, this is Nephew Tommy.
Anybody hungry right now? Don't you feel a little hungry?
Yeah.
Fat Panty.
No, he don't.
He might just show
fat
up.
Fat Panty is very hungry now.
Wow. All right, Pat, let me put this out there if you don't mind. The Nephew got a show this Friday night. Come check out your boy. I'm in Salisbury, Maryland, Wacomico Youth and Convention Center. I got a show one night only, Friday night. Get your tickets on sale, all Ticketmaster outlets or at the box office. That's Wacomico Youth and Convention Center, Salisbury, Maryland. Thank you very much. The fool is coming your way.
Listen, I'm trying to support him, but just as a fallen mentor. It's hard for me.
Don't do
no,
that,
I just
know.
Feel like a failure at mentoring. I mentor everybody but my own damn nephew.
Well,
Well, no, we're gonna be all right. I mean,
we are into March, ladies.
What can we do to be good,
ladies? If you just calm down,
we are into March.
Yeah, this
and we have yet to meet on nothing. Damn thing. And how many times I've met with you, Junior?
12 to 15.
I met him 64 times.
Wow.
Yeah, one-on-one meetings. I mean, you about you about 40 meetings, haven't you, Jim?
Yeah, about right up in there.
I had about 103 meetings.
Couple at least.
Well,
yeah,
see,
at least.
You and I haven't met face-to-face, but we have talked on the phone.
How many times, Shirley? About?
At least, what, 59, 60?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Somewhere
yeah.
along
couple
the
couple of minutes. No wonder I can't get through. That's the problem.
Hey, listen, coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann will be here with today's national news. And Mr. Trump jokes that Melania will be next to leave the White House.
Oh, that ain't no joke.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Last week was chaotic at the White House. There was so much going on. But the president attempted, you know, made a little attempt at humor when he wanted to laugh it off last Saturday night during the gridiron dinner. Some thought he might not participate at the gridiron dinner in light of the resignation of communications director Hope Hicks last week and the admission that she told white lies to cover for Trump. Yet Mr. Trump not only attended, he made light of his troubles, joking, "It's been a really calm week at the White House." He also referenced the high turnover rate, saying, "Now the question everyone keeps asking is, who is going to be the next to leave? Steve Miller or Melania?"
Wow.
What? Wow.
I didn't miss from that joke and wah.
Yeah. Crickets.
Oh, my God.
Trump also joked out about his embattled advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whose top secret security clearance, we remember this, was downgraded last week.
Yep.
He blamed Kushner for the dinner running a bit behind schedule, saying it was late because Jared couldn't get through security. Wow.
Damn, he's working the room.
Yeah. Good thing you can laugh at yourself. This is pretty serious,
he's
though.
He's worse than me.
Those are actually pretty good jokes.
Yeah.
They were good jokes, yeah. They were good jokes.
Yeah, good joke writers. Yeah.
Shirley reading them is a little,
losing a little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit. She reads very well, but she's too proper.
Oh. So,
he was working the room, man. Yeah, yeah, I think that's no joke about his wife leaving. She might be leaving.
I never thought she was there to begin with.
You live there now?
Yeah. And you are?
I've never seen a guy so disrespectful of the first lady in the White House, any of the presidents. You know, he'll get out the car and just get on the plane, just leave her. And never open the door for her, never.
I thought he doesn't know how.
He doesn't know any of that. Yeah.
But when
he's never done it.
Remember when he tried to grab her hand and stuff and she swatted him away or snatched back?
Yeah.
Oh, don't do this for the cameras. You don't do it any other time. Yeah.
Oh, so that's what it is. Oh, okay.
I mean,
she's saying
maybe.
Obama, well, it's totally different. Obama and
Michelle,
I mean, that was just true.
But he had been doing that for
years.
Courtship.
Yeah.
Everything. He's just that guy.
Yeah, he's a gentleman.
And she required that.
Yeah, right. And they not only loved each other, but they actually liked each other too. They liked.
I don't think they like. Yeah, it was Melania.
Melania.
And I don't think he likes anybody. But the guy who's keeping that hairpiece together.
That's the one. Damn, Jack.
Gotta like him.
You gotta like him. Can't make him mad.
Can't make him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we'll see how this week goes in the White House.
Man, people are leaving like crazy, man. Yeah.
Do anybody work there anymore?
I don't know.
I'm telling y'all, Sarah Huckabee.
You're saying she's on her way out, right?
I ain't saying she's on the way, but she can't do it.
You see cracks?
You can't keep lying like that. You're right.
I see it.
Yeah.
She drawing her eye makeup on different. stopped. He's getting thicker and darker, and she just stopped.
She don't have a steady hand, Steve.
Yeah. No.
She notices everything. Yeah. I love that.
She definitely had the hell with it moment in her life. The hell with it.
I've been looking at her, man. This is turning ugly.
It has to mess with your spirit, though. Yeah. It's hard to be
a four-year liar. Mm-hmm. That's a four-year liar.
It has to. Yeah. All right, Steve, she's here. Please introduce her.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's here, Miss Ann Tripp.
Thanks, guys. Good morning, everybody. This is Ann Tripp with the news. Well, President Trump says he does not expect to start a trade war by imposing tariffs on imported steel and aluminum. And that's despite the fact that many of his fellow Republicans are urging him to change his mind. But the president says it's a way of simply balancing the scales.
People have to understand our country on trade has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world, whether it's friend or enemy.
Now, friending is really referring to Canada. However, critics say they fear that the new tariffs could end up causing higher prices for people in this country and also a backlash against U.S. exports abroad. Trump says he expects to sign the tariff order sometime this week. We don't know when, today, tomorrow, whenever. By the way, the president also wanted the DACA program to end yesterday, but of course it didn't. That's because the Congress is still at a stalemate over DACA legislation, and with the federal courts temporarily blocking the president's decision. While current Dreamers can reapply for the program, no new people can sign on for now. The Florida State Senate has passed a package of gun regulation measures that they include a $400 million a package to be used for things like school metal detectors and bulletproof glass, even for extra security personnel, mental health counselors to hopefully identify students with problems and help them before they become a danger to themselves or others. The package would also raise the age limit for gun purchases and ban those bump stock things, which can turn a semi-automatic rifle into a fully automatic one. The bill now goes to the Florida House for a possible vote by the end of this week. Stay tuned. By the way, the Florida Senate has also passed a measure to give the student survivors of the Parkland High School shootings a break on their end-of-year exams. That's right. It's an amendment to an unrelated education bill that exempts youngsters who survived the horrific event from the otherwise mandatory English, math, and science test. Now, students can still take the test if they really want to. This all has to get the okay, though, by the Florida House and by the governor, but it's expected to. The social news site Reddit says it's removed a few hundred accounts linked to Russian propaganda. Reddit CEO says the site's trying to identify and remove all accounts that are connected to Russia, which have also produced a lot of fake news. The chairman of the powerful Senate Appropriations Committee, Republican Thad Cochran of Mississippi, says he's retiring April 1st. Cochran was first elected to the Senate in 1978. He's recently been declining health. The governor's to appoint an interim senator to serve until the November elections. And finally, today is Be Proud of Your Middle Name Day.
The name game.
Shirley, Bo Birdie, Banana, Fana, Po Fairly. We'll be back with more entertainment. Today's trending topics, 20 minutes after the hour on a Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Lincoln.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve. Now, I know you've been watching the 2018 NFL Combine. I know you have.
Mm-hmm.
Well, have you seen this young man? He's from Central Florida. Former linebacker, his name is Shaquem Griffin, 22 Woo! Years old, Steve. Lord, truly, man. Truly amazing.
Yeah,
that boy bad.
Yeah, I mean, the amazing thing is that he had his left hand amputated when he was just 4 years old because of a condition he was born with, okay? He has blown away NFL scouts, and he's proved the naysayers wrong. They call him Shaq. He ran the 40-yard dash in 4.38 seconds. Did I get that right,
that boy,
Steve?
Man.
Did I get that?
Sure.
He used it, but you know I wanted to say 4.38.
You can't even read.
You know I wanted to say 4.38 all day. All day I wanted to say that.
Than the majority of running backs.
Mm-hmm. Right. He's a linebacker, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. Yeah, former
That's
linebacker.
That's faster than most of the running backs.
That's fast.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
sir-y.
Yeah.
Now, his twin brother is a cornerback for the Seattle Seahawks. The NFL draft is April 26th through the 28th in Dallas, Arlington area. AT&T Stadium, home of who? The Dallas Cowboys. Thank you very much. And this
you know that.
This young man is just, yeah, I do, right? This young man is just amazing, and he's really inspirational. He can bench press as well. He used a prosthetic arm to do that.
Yeah, 220 pounds, 20 reps.
Amazing.
So when you see this guy playing, I saw him playing in the playoff in the championship. Their school actually Can I? No, no, time. Steve. I'm going to say something really good. Listen. All right. Okay. No. It just really makes you feel that you shouldn't be sitting up going, well, I don't have this and I can't do
woe
this.
Is me,
woe is me. Uh-huh. Here's a kid with one hand
doing it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jay.
You were nervous, Steve. You were nervous.
No, really, I was.
I had my head turned for the back.
No.
I said, well, if you do what I think you're going to do, this ain't going to go good. Me and your relationship going to sour.
No.
You guys have been friends. I don't know.
He knows where I'm going, but I wasn't going there.
But you're right, though.
Yeah, it makes
be thankful
you go,
for your blessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it limits your excuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right.
I mean, stop making excuses. This kid ain't. No. He's not making excuses.
Oh, yeah.
What, in fantasy football, Tommy?
No, he should go. He should, yeah.
Right. In the draft. Ball.
Oh, I thought you said you were going to pick him up. Oh,
I
okay.
said some.
You said someone.
Yeah, he meant some team you. In the
I
NFL
just didn't
draft.
Hear you. It sounded like you said you were.
I thought I was going to go down the road. You thought
the J-Roll going to.
No,
I just thought you meant on your fantasy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, listen, we're going to move on. Coming up at 34 after the hour, the guys are here. They are right here. It's time for Comedy Roulette.
What?
Get your mind right.
We can be stupid
get
now.
Get your mind right.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Jay, it is time for Comedy Roulette.
All right, can I say this first? It's going down tonight at the J-Spot Comedy Club, 5581 West Manchester Avenue. The Fat Panther will be there.
I was gonna ask you that.
And my boy Shane will rock the house tonight. Here we go with Comedy Roulette. Very simple. Give us five subjects. Put them on a wheel. Spun the wheel. Say it with me, Shirley. Spun.
Spun the wheel.
We're not going to spin it. We're going to spun the wheel.
Spun it.
Where'd stop?
Spun it.
We'll do the damn thing. What you got?
All right, here we go. Number one, you know you can go to jail for that.
Well, that's a good one right there.
Can we just stop right
there? Stop right there.
Yeah.
Number two, you need to cut that off.
All of that.
Off.
Yeah,
that.
All of that.
Off.
All of that.
You need to cut that off, okay? Number three. I don't know what she looks like without a wig on. I don't know. Number four, get your butt out of my refrigerator.
That's not what it says.
That's not what it says.
And number five, you know you went too far with the joke when.
Here we go, baby. Right. Here we go.
Spun it, cat.
Oh. What she look like?
You go to jail for that.
Oh, what you got?
Oh, it stopped at number five. You know you went too far with the joke.
Oh, that's a good one right there.
Uh-huh. All right, guys.
You know you went too far with the joke when.
Dot, dot, dot.
You know you went too far with the joke when you see the fruit talking to you saying, my brother, can I speak to you about that joke? Hey, my brother.
Yeah. Can we have a conversation? Yeah,
you need to really stop.
Yes, we're friends of Brother Johnson.
Yeah.
Surrounded by bow ties.
Oh, when bow ties surround you, the joke is going too far.
What you got, Jimmy? You know you went too far with the joke when?
Oh, this is very simple. When Shirley and Carla say something. Because when they say something, we went too far with the joke. They won't never let us go far.
No, you can't go too far with
the joke. No, y'all stop.
We do that every day.
Oh, no. We can't do nothing when y'all in the room.
Come on, tell you something. You know you done went too far with the joke when your wife pack a bag and say, I'll be at my mama's house. That's where I'll be at.
All right, come on,
that's
Steve.
Where I'm gonna be.
You done went too far with the joke when all your friends say, damn, dog.
Yeah.
That's real sad.
I got one. Damn, dog.
Like right there.
All right, here you go. You know you done went too far with the joke when someone says, he not looking at you because he's blind. How about that? He's blind. That's why he's not looking at you.
Dog, I'm over here. I'll tell you, you know, when you went too far with a joke.
Uh-huh.
After you tell a joke, there's only one laugh. There's only one.
High time, Junior.
You
Yeah.
It ain't but one leg.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
One
and
more
that's
time.
Your boy that wrote it. For
yeah.
Come on, Neff.
You know you didn't went too far with the joke when the person sitting in the audience say, "I'm on my way up there."
To the stage.
Oh, to the stage.
Yeah. You done went too far with the joke, boy.
You know you done went too far with the joke when she says, "No, I'm not expecting a baby."
Whoa!
Oh.
Whoa!
Oh.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Dun, dun, dun.
I got one named Steve. All right, you know you went too far with the joke when you tell a joke and you go, "Is this thing on?" And the audience goes, "Yes! It's on. We can hear you. It's just not funny."
Wow. Come on, Steve, you want to close it out?
You know you went too far with the joke when nobody laughs and your response in the mic was, "It was funny when I wrote it."
Yeah. Yeah.
Been that, done that. Yeah.
All right, Nephew Tommy, thanks, guys, as always. Nephew Tommy has a prank phone call coming up right after this.
I'll be all set.
Cool.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after today's Strawberry Letter, subject, "They don't make them like they used to." But right now, it is time for the prank phone call. What you got, Neff?
Carla?
Yes?
This goes out to all the cheerleader mamas. Bottom of the pyramid. Bottom of the pyramid.
Got a competition this weekend. Bring it, nephew.
Bottom of the pyramid.
Hello?
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 Yeah, can you hear me? I'm trying to reach Angela. Angela,
hang on just a second. Let me turn it down. Okay, hi. Who are you trying to reach?
I'm trying to reach Angela. Is this Angela?
Oh, yeah, this she.
Hi, Angela. This is Chip. Chip, I'm the new camp director for the cheerleading camp for the summer.
Oh, hi, Chip. What can I do for you?
Just wanted to give you a courtesy call. Your daughter, you got her signed up for 4 weeks with the camp, right?
Yep. For June. Okay. Yep.
This is you guys' third year being a part of the camp?
Yep. And she's really excited. She loves coming to the camp, and we think it's a great thing for her to be involved in. What's up?
Okay. You guys just finished the whole cheerleading season, too. Am I right? The competition season?
Yes. Just coming off of that.
Right. Okay. Well, we're getting ready for the summer, and everybody's excited about coming out and being a part of what's going on. So here's what I wanted to give you a little bit. Like I said, I'm the new camp director. I was just starting this job. I got a few notes that were given to me about so I wanted to give you a call and see if I could talk to you about it.
A few notes given to you about?
Yeah, just a couple of notes. I don't think it's anything that we can't make sure is okay.
What kind of notes?
Well, it's been brought to my attention that some of the parents whose daughters are out there as well, they're going to be there this summer, are a little concerned about her being on top of the pyramid, that she's is a little heavy. Should she?
Wait. Ho. You calling me about some other parents and said about how big my child is or how much my child weighs? Is that what you're calling me about?
What I wanted to let you know is we're going to put as a base, or we're going to put her as a
base. Oh, no, you ain't going to put no base. I done already paid my money. And what you say your name is? Chip? And how long have you been the director? Because I was just up there 2 weeks ago, and they told me that she was going to be in the same position that she was last year, because that is what worked. That's the formation that worked. So I don't even know what you're talking about.
Supposedly, some of the girls are complaining that she's too heavy to hold up. So that seems to be the problem in there. They're not getting a strong enough pyramid. And I'm going to
now, wait a minute. I know she ain't the biggest one out there. Have you been out there? My child is not the biggest child out there. When did you start? Because obviously you have not seen these cheerleaders. It is some baby sumos out there.
Okay, hang on a second. Angela, I want you to calm down a bit.
No, ain't nobody going to calm down, because I done already paid my money, and this that I be talking about. What parents? What Harrison said something. Is it Carrie?
Ma'am, I'm not gonna state who it is, but let's just say it was several.
These parents that's got something to say about my child and her position on the cheerleading squad? Because if you ain't finna fuck up no names, then I don't understand what you calling me about. I tell you one thing: when she get out there, I done paid my money. She better not be on no base. She better be in the air. I guarantee you that. Right now, I've been hanging with these
all season,
and ain't nobody said nothing to me about and her weight and all this.
Okay, Angela, can you hear me? I just wanted you to hear me clearly. I haven't seen these young ladies yet. Once I see them, I will critique what I think.
Well, then you don't even need to be calling me because you ain't even seen nothing. So you calling me with some he said she from some other parents that's been skinning and grinning in my face, and they now one of these saying nothing to me. They done been in my house. We done had parties over here with this competition every weekend, every other day, and they couldn't say nothing to me about my baby. I tell you what, why don't you call your girls on the three-way, Mr. Chip? If you can't call them on the three-way, never mind, I got them numbers. I call them on the three-way.
Okay. Look, ma'am, all I wanted to do was make you aware of the possibility that she may be a back.
Well, thank you. You have made me aware, and I guarantee you that if I bring my big yellow ass up there and come to the practice, I guarantee you she won't be no base. How much you want to bet on that, Mr. Chip?
Look, you're going to quit hollering at me. And I told you I would try to take a look at these girls, but I tell you what, your daughter's going to be a base or she's going to be a back support, whichever I decide she's going to do.
Who in the f*** do you think you hollering at, Mr. Chip? That's not how this is going to go down. As a matter of fact, Ms. Chip, are you at the registration table today?
I'm here now while people are registering. Yes, I am.
Let me turn this around. I tell you what, I'm on my way up there. Why don't you and them parents that's been complaining, why don't all y'all come to the table and we're going to have come to Jesus meeting about where going to be for this coming up season? Because I'm not going to tolerate this. I done told you, I done paid my money, and this high is going down.
Has gained weight.
What is it to you whether gained weight or not? What does that have to do with her cheerleading?
Do you agree that probably bigger than most of the girls on the team?
It's not bigger than most of the girls on the team. Monique's daughter is bigger than and she wasn't no base last year. They hyped up, so she's going to get up too. We all just going to be big and plump up in the air. I done turned around and I'm headed to your little registration table,
okay,
so you better be ready.
Before you get here, there's something else I need to tell you.
You ain't got to tell me a thing. All you got to do is have you and the parents around that table when I get there, because I'm on my way up there right now. Then y'all can say all y'all got to say in my face.
Okay, well, I want to, before you get here, I just want to let you know. This is nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey.
Who this is on this phone? What did you just say?
This is nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Oh. I'll be God. Lord. Who put
Rochelle. There's another parent named Rochelle. She told me y'all are good friends out there.
So she want to prank call, huh? All right, we're going to see. The season starts. I'm going to hide her daughter uniform. She ain't gonna be able to perform. A fat will be looking for hers. How about that? Since y'all want to prank call me?
Oh, man. Hey, let me ask you something, baby. What is the baddest, the baddest radio show in the land?
None other than the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Somebody got to be the baby.
Why my baby?
Somebody got to be down there.
My baby?
Yeah, it happens, Jay, sometimes.
Yeah, it does.
Okay. My baby's the back spot.
Why my baby?
Yes. All you cheerleader mamas out there that's in Salisbury, Maryland, that feel like you want to get out a little bit this Friday and get your laugh on, the nephew is coming to town. Wacomico. It's the Wacomico. I hope I'm saying that. I swear I don't know if I'm saying it right.
Wacomico.
I think I'm saying it right. But there it is.
Right.
Nephew is there.
And cheerleader daddies, too. You want them, too, don't you?
Oh, the cheer dads. Their job is to clap and write the check.
Yes.
And we do write the check.
Yes. Tommy's a cheer dad.
And what is the cheer mom's job?
To be at all the competitions. We got
to
do the hair, the makeup.
Yes.
And to cheer them on, we got to be right
and go,
there.
That's okay,
let me tell you,
baby.
And let me tell you something. When they say cheering, when my wife tell me, listen, she cheers at 3:12.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
can't slide in there at 3:13.
Oh, no. You're going to miss it.
You're going to miss the whole thing because it's 3 minutes. It's 3 minutes long. My little girl said that is 3 minutes
and 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Are there parents who take it too far?
What?
I don't know many parents that do that, because Shirley said, I'm taking it too far, and I don't agree.
You know I love my baby Tasha. Hmm.
She taking it too far.
She does go a little overboard. I mean, you've seen the movies. Carla's the one in the stand screaming.
Watch this. Let me tell you how you know.
Let me tell you how you know.
Carla going to leave here Friday. Uh-huh. You're going to go to a cheer competition.
Uh-huh.
Listen to Carla's voice on Monday when she gets back in here.
Because she's in the stand screaming.
Good morning, Steve.
Yeah. Whoa. Mm.
Every kid should have a mom like that. Mm.
Yes. Yeah,
no,
dedication.
No, they shouldn't be. No, my mama wasn't like that, and I turned out just fine.
I have a T-shirt that says Real Mom of Cheer.
There you go.
All right, coming up at the top of the hour, the Strawberry Letters subject. They don't make them like they used to.
No, they don't.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, it is time for today's Strawberry Letter. But before we get to it, let me just let you know that if you have an issue, if you need some advice, please write to us at steveharveyfm.com. Right, Steve?
That's right, because we take these letters seriously. And if you could just send us something. Come on now, don't let us down.
Yeah, we could be reading your letter live on the air one day. Maybe today. This could be you, all right? SteveHarveyFM.com. Send all your letters there, all right? All right, nephew, let's go. It's time.
Buckle up and hold on tight. We got it for you, the Strawberry Letter.
Subject, they don't make them like they used to. Dear Stephen Shirley, I want your honest opinions. I'm young and I have a great job, my own place, and I'm happily single for now. Here's my issue. I don't think a strong, independent woman should stand by a broke man or wait for him to reach his full potential. People always say I should not overlook a man that falls short financially, but I prefer to remain strong because I am not afraid of being alone. So many women go through the emotional struggles of being with a man just to say they have a man. So is it selfish for me to live my own life and continue to pray for the man that God will send to me? I understand that men are natural hunters, so once they see what they want, they will keep pressing for it. How do I know that a man's intentions are genuine and he's not looking for the come up? What if he's a really great guy, but he's living check to check? I have been in these types of relationships before, and they each ended up as a waste of time and energy. Don't get me wrong, I've been broke before, so I'm not downing anyone. Now that I'm doing much better and I'm able to take care of myself, if it's bad that I don't settle for half a man just to say I have a man, seems like more men are looking for someone to take care of them now. I'm not bashing all men, but what's really going on nowadays? Well, I mean, you know, you're perfectly, of course, within your rights to feel how you feel. You said you're not bashing all men. You're just, you know, talking about the kind of men that you don't want, which is a good thing. I think you know what you do want. You say you've been broke before. You're not downing anyone. You want to be with someone. You don't want to settle. I think that's perfectly fine. You shouldn't settle. You shouldn't settle. If you're truly praying for the man that God wants to send to you, then that's what you should be open to. You'll know when it's the man that God sent for you because he'll be a godly man. Men are natural hunters. Steve used to talk about that on the show all the time. But I think what you need to stay close to is what you're praying for. Is you're praying for God to send you the man that you want. But just make sure you're everything. You know, make sure you're whole and you know, you're a good person and you're a good woman. You have something to offer the world and a man, okay? Don't just look for a man to come and make you whole. Already be whole, okay? It's okay for you to be strong and independent and all of that stuff. Just, you know, if you're really praying for a man, God to send you a man, just wait for that, all right? Steve?
Well, this is a weird letter, really, yeah. Because she's saying a couple of things. First of all, I wish I knew how old she was, because this has a lot to do with it. Now, you know, if you don't think that a strong, independent woman should stand by a broke man or wait for him to reach his full potential, then you feel that way. But let me tell you something. You're saying a broke man. You said you've been in relationships with people who live check to check. Let me say something to you. The majority of people are living check to check. That's a financial fact. check to check don't mean you're broke. It means you're in a situation where in three checks you could be completely out. Well, most people live that way until they pull it together. If you're looking for a man that's already made, which you haven't said directly in this letter, but what appears to me that you've said in this letter, that you want somebody that's already made, then get in line, because that line is going to be long. And if you're young, there are men who are in the building process. It takes men some time to pull themselves together. It just does. A man that's in their 20s, it's going to be hard to find a guy that has it together in his 20s. It's going to be hard, because that's the learning phase of life. So, ma'am, you've said quite a lot in this letter. Now, is it true that some men are looking to be taken care of? Yep, that's true. They're easy to spot because they're looking to be taken care of. They don't want to pay for the dinners. They don't want to pay to take you out. They ain't looking to sponsor no trips. They ain't looking to, okay, what? You know, what are you talking about? Now, if a guy's living check to check and trips ain't really available right now, maybe once a year, but he's doing everything else he can that men do, then you might have a good prospect that you're passing on because he's not made yet. Men who have means. Just because a man got money don't make him a good man. Uh-oh.
True.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Did I just say that?
Yes, you did,
yes,
sir.
You did.
Yes,
you did. Just because a man got money don't make him a good man. So now you can pass up on these other men who may have better qualities and less funds and go for the funds and get the less quality man. Also, you said you're asking God to send you a man. If that's the case, what's the letter for?
Huh.
See, this is how I read letters. And Shirley's right about several things she said in her comment to you about it. Now, look, you can be by yourself. But who really want to be by themselves, though? I mean, let's just have an honest conversation.
Put your hand down, Jay.
Other than his bitter ass.
Oh, no.
Evil, distraught, old ass, don't know, but ran over, used and abused. Guy like that. Other than that, who don't want to be alone? Everybody wants somebody. Then you say, how do I know that the man's intentions are genuine and he's not looking for the come up? Like I told you, it's easy. He gonna want a lot of stuff. What if he's a really great guy, but he's living check to check? If I were you, I would sign up for that. Because that really great guy, hard to come by. He ain't gonna always be living check to check now. Great guys turn it around eventually. Great guys become great men, become great fathers, become great husbands.
All right, Steve.
Money don't determine none of that. Am I preaching today?
Yes, you are. Amen. 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 And you can preach some more. Part two of your sermon coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, come on. Let's get to part two of your response to today's strawberry letter. They don't make them like they used to, is the
You
subject.
Know, I was talking about this young lady who's saying too many contradictory things in her letter about coming up. She's talking about, you know, majority of people living check to check. Some men are looking to be taken care of. I told her that a man that has money don't make him a good man. You're going to have to, should I take a man who's living check to check, but he has great qualities? Yeah, because he's on the come up. Takes a long time for a man to get it together. And on the break, I was reading another line she said that was quite contradictory. She said, don't get me wrong. I've been broke before, so I'm not downing anyone. Okay, you got that line, Shirley?
I do. Uh-huh.
Don't get me wrong. I've been broke before, so I'm not downing anyone. Mm-hmm. Then she said, now that I'm doing much better and I'm able to take care of myself, here's the contradiction. Is it bad if I don't settle for a half a man just to say I have a man. Now, you just said you've been broke before, so you're not down in anyone. Now you telling me because if a man don't have his finances together that he's half a man?
Wow.
Sister, let me help you understand something. You are setting yourself up for a contradictory life. A man's money has nothing to do with his level of manhood. Some of the best men I know and have known in my life have far less than I have right now. But I have the utmost respect for them, love and admiration. I am constantly in a quest to become my father. All day, I'm just trying to be Slick Harvey. That's all I'm trying to be. The hardest working man I ever knew. The best husband and the best father I've ever seen. This dude was there. He didn't miss a beat. He didn't miss a beat. That's all I'm trying to be. My daddy ain't had a tenth of the money I got. But he's the best example of manhood I ever saw. So, sister, I think you're wrong. And I think you got to make an attitude adjustment. Now, you said something in the letter about, so is it selfish for me to live my own life and continue to pray for the man that God will send to me? Suppose God sends you this really great man who's living check to check.
Mm.
Let the church say amen.
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 Amen. Amen again.
Amen. Amen.
Because I just can't knock these cats that don't have it financially together. Because I got to tell you something. I was once that cat.
Yeah, used to be that, yeah.
I was that dude. I lived in a car for 3 years. Man, I'm pretty sure, man, I met a couple girls while I lived in a car. They ain't see the potential. I ain't blame them.
And she wouldn't have been in there with you for sure.
Oh, no. Man, I ain't asked nobody to come get in this car with me either. I knew I wasn't a good catch. But I hung in there. I just kept hanging in there. These men gonna eventually get it together. Good men become good husbands, become good fathers. You're gonna miss out on a good husband and a good father because he don't have a good check right now. But if he working and got a plan and putting it together, that's called potential. And yeah, you should marry potential. And yeah, you should hook up with potential because y'all can build something together. Everybody would love to meet Mr. Rich Man and go on and get their life made right off. But them numbers is few. So listen to me, ladies. It's already hard to find a good man. Now you're going to narrow the search to a good rich man? What? Where they at? Only 5%. Here's a rate. Okay. Can I preach now?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. Preach.
5% of the people make 95% of the money in the world. 5% make 95% of the world. So now you want what? You cannot be looking for one of them 5%ers. You know what kind of options they got?
What kind?
Ooh.
That's one of my favorite sounds. Yes, I love it.
They shopping how they want to shop. Do you understand me? They shopping how they want to shop. They got options. Don't put yourself in that position. Find you a good man with some great potential, and y'all go on and build a life together. Stop looking for these rich dudes because you ain't the only one. That line is long, and they take advantage of the long lines. They interview a lot of people.
Yes.
And what is wrong with you?
They're not that long. Thank you for the strawberry letter. If you have a letter, a condition, a situation that you would like some help with, please send it to steveharveyfm.com.
That's right.
steveharveyfm.com. And we could be reading, dissecting, and helping your life. Or we could make a complete mockery of your letter. It just depends.
Like yesterday.
Like yesterday, yeah.
Yeah, yesterday was a mockery letter. Today was some serious help right here for women in need. Thank you very much. Those are my remarks of the strawberry letter today.
Well, he said if you got sound a like condition. Passion,
yeah.
If you have a condition.
Well, that's what yesterday
an ailment. A ligature. A siphonotic epidemical silus.
What?
I like that. Siphonotic.
Siphonotic. You know what I'm saying? Well, you don't hear me now.
Siphonotic.
When we come back, I'm going to tell you this word I made up on Family Feud.
Oh, really?
The whole damn crowd looking at me so crazy.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we're going to talk about O.J. Simpson. Back in the news. Wait till you hear about this, and then Steve's going to tell us about a word he made up on the Family Feud. we'll be back. OJ, this is fascinating.
What do he do now?
He's back.
I don't know. We're going to take a stab at it.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Jay, you ready for OJ?
I'm always ready for OJ.
All right, Fox is set to air an old interview of O.J. Simpson that they had on the shelf for years, okay? In it, O.J. tells host Judith Regan that he hypothetically had an accomplice in the murders of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman. Fox shelved the interview for more than 11 years after public outcry over the revelation that the interviewer, Judith Regan, reportedly paid Simpson $3.5 million for the interview.
Wow.
Fox is now airing the interview coming up March 11th at 8 p.m. as a two-hour special. Here's the title. O.J. Simpson, The Lost Confession, hosted by Soledad O'Brien, our old friend.
Yeah, good friend.
Our old friend. Mm-hmm.
I've seen some of this, and you know what? They've cut nothing out either, man. They got everything in there.
Is this the one based off the book, If I Had Done It? I got it.
Yes. Yes, Shirley.
Don't tell me that.
This is the interview. One more
just
time,
ignore
Jay.
No,
yeah.
It was done 11 years ago. This is basically a slice of history.
But remember, Steve, when he did the when he did the book or something, it was called If I Had Done It.
Yeah,
yes, this, is.
Yeah.
So this is from that.
So this is from.
I have said from the beginning
that
I thought he was guilty.
Yeah.
Now a lot of people disagree with that, but I just thought he was guilty. Now he got freed. I was mad at him for still trying to show up and be regular. Hey man, go sit your ignorant behind down somewhere. Yeah. Then he messed around till he finally got his ass put in jail.
Back in jail.
I'm not a fan of stupidity.
Right. You got away with murder.
Yeah.
Double homicide.
How do you do that? You know, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. That's what it is. It's just not.
So, Steve, you think he was being stupid by still going out to the golf course, playing golf, and
this interview that they have, it's just not a bright person.
No.
No one does this. No, a person who's rationally thinking doesn't do it. You don't care anything about your children. This woman had children.
Yeah,
her children are still living.
Your children.
They're your kids.
Yeah.
And your dumb ass is so arrogant that you out here making these types of interviews, these type of statements with innuendo. Are you kidding me, man?
Yeah. And that people were upset about it back during that time, Steve. That's exactly what they were saying. So they shelved it. And now finally, I guess they're thinking the climate has changed.
Well,
it's different now.
Why would Fox take a stab at it and then try to air this now?
Cut it out, Jay.
See what you did?
Shirley.
She know what she doing.
Yeah, I agree, though. Yeah, just let it go. Seriously. Why now?
Sit down and shut up. Yeah, you'll be fine.
But that's Fox, though. Don't we expect that?
You're right.
Fox?
That is Fox. Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
Tell you what I'm going to watch.
Anytime OJ's on TV,
you have to watch.
I'm going
to
watch it.
Will you watch it?
I'm going to watch it because he's going to make a lot of good points.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know what they say, Steve. He's talking about himself in the third person. Then he kind of slips up.
Yeah, yeah.
Junior got it.
Caught it right off the top.
Junior got it up there.
Point.
I quietly just said that.
Point.
Carla, why didn't they cut to the chase and do it?
Well, they say he talks about himself in the third person. Then he goes and kind of slips up, and then he says he talks about himself in the first person. Yeah. Well, so they're like, well, is this a confession? Yeah.
Well, they're saying, that's what they're saying. This is kind of like a confession.
In other words, it's kind of dull.
Huh? Yeah.
No, it's never dull.
OJ,
he's sharper than that.
During the taping, OJ describes going to scare the blank as sugar honey iced tea out of Nicole the night she was killed, saying that he showed up in the Bronco with a friend, right, brought a knife, and wore a hat and gloves for dramatic effect. So you could take a listen.
Forget everything you think you know about that night, because I know the facts better than anyone. This is one story the whole world got wrong.
You know that what? Sounds eerie.
Ooh, that's creepy.
Yeah, it does.
I think the numbers are not going to be as great as Fox wants them to be. I mean, people are like kind of fed up with OJ. I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to do as well as they hope.
Especially millennials and stuff. They don't know the story. They don't, you know.
It's no big deal
around.
To them, right?
Yeah.
Right.
When the Bronco chase and all of that.
What?
Yeah.
That was a striking.
It was the story of the century.
Trial.
Yeah.
Best acting job I've seen.
Yes,
trying to put them gloves on.
Yeah, man.
Boy.
OJ was not putting that glove on.
Boy, he was not going to make it fit.
Can't do it. Won't fit. Look. Yeah.
And everyone had a theory. Everyone had something to say about this trial. Everyone.
I had the best theory.
What was yours, man?
What was your theory?
He did it.
Yeah. I completely agree with you from day one. I mean, people would argue you down, though, about this. In L.A., it was crazy because it was racially divided. Yeah. And, I mean, it was really crazy living out here.
And the other
that
theory
time.
Was, if he didn't do it, would you let him spend a night at jailhouse?
No.
Oh, he's spending the night, all right.
You got to lock them doors.
No, I ain't locking no door. I'm going to be up with his ass. The whole damn time.
Yeah.
Uncle, you think we can find that bit what you did on OJ, Uncle?
I did several bits on OJ. You talking about
the special.
The special.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that.
God.
Hey, man, that was my first HBO special.
Yeah. Oh, really?
That was my very first one, yeah. That was my very first one.
In Dallas.
Yeah.
It was sharp.
Somebody said they found a Heisman Trophy in the bushes. It was so much evidence.
Can we play a little bit of that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See if you can find it.
Yeah.
Man.
All right. When we come back, we're going to hear some of Steve's, his own take on the whole OJ situation when we come back.
Years ago.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Okay, so Steve, before we went to break, we were talking about the whole OJ special that's coming on Fox this week. And then I think Junior mentioned that you did a whole OJ run back in the day.
You know, this was my very first HBO special.
Oh, okay.
This was called That's Deep.
Okay, I remembered That's Deep.
Yeah. Dallas, Texas.
It was actually named by Jonathan Slocum.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time we was together, I used to say, man, that's deep. He said, man, you always say that's deep. You ought to name your special That's Deep. So and I shot the special in Dallas, Texas. This is my first HBO special back in 90-something, man. This is my bit on O.J. Simpson.
We might as well get it out the way. It's in the news every day. O.J. Simpson. Now, you can have your opinion of whether you think he did it or not. Most people have formed one already. You may not agree with what I'm about to say, but damn it, I think he did it. I think OJ killed everybody in that driveway. Tried to kill that dog, too. Dog had blood on his ass. He was just too quick for OJ's ass. So I'll tell you a couple things make me think he did it. First of all, like my daddy always say, stick to what you do. You a football player? Hell, play football. If you don't know how to commit murder, damn it, don't do it. Stay your ass at the house.
What you out there trying killing people for if you ain't good at it? Plus, his old ignorant and got evidence popping up everywhere. Somebody say they found a Heisman Trophy in the bushes. Because, see, I am not of the thinking that the media got us going at. This ain't about race. And I don't care what color he is. If he killed somebody, he got to go. I don't give a damn if he do play football. And I ain't backing nobody just because you black. If you done killed somebody, blue, black, green, yellow, your ass got to go. I'm telling you that right now. And the media done got all of black America in an uproar about it being a race issue. This ain't race. You understand me? OJ ain't been black since he won that Heisman Trophy. So now, I ain't picketing for no damn body. I ain't getting out there carrying no sign. Kiss my ass, I tell you that right now. Oh, I might go down there and picket, but you ain't gonna like what's on my sign. Cause I'm gonna have OJ on both sides. So I'm going to tell you what else is wrong with it. OJ's reactions ain't right for me. You know, if you ain't did it, act like you ain't did it. You know, OJ need to raise some hell or something. Sitting over there drawing. Laughing. Are you listening to the trial? The hell you laughing at, OJ? Your ass up for double murder. Because I'm going to tell you something. I done been to court a whole lot of times. For a lot less than murder and then raise more hell than OJ. Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I'm in on trial for double murder and I ain't did it, the gag rule is in effect on me every day. I'm going to be in there with handcuffs on and toilet tissue in my mouth. That's how you act if you ain't done nothing. OJ sitting up there way too cool. OJ need to trip. OJ need to show me something. Stand up, turn the table over. Say, hey, that's bullshit. Hey, you kiss my ass. You kiss my ass. All y'all kiss my ass. Come on, AC, let's get on up out of here.
Wow, Steve, that was
classic. Classic Steve Harvey right there, baby.
Beginning, middle, and end. Yeah. That's how you do it right there.
That was my very first HBO special. I can't remember the year that came out, but it was before Kings of Comedy.
Oh, wow. I'm surprised you can't remember the year because you never forget
it. It was like
anything.
96. Because my next HBO special was like 98, I think. That's the yellow suit. This was in a brown Barbara Bates suit.
Oh, Barbara Bates. That's my girl. Barbara Bates. Chicago. Yeah.
From Chicago.
I had a double patterned suit on. Big pants, big coat.
Wide pants leg. Wide.
Yeah.
Wide.
Put two small children in each leg.
Yeah.
Wide.
Really
wide.
And it was a time, man, when I was free. To do whatever I wanted to do. People have talked to me about coming back and doing one more. Going to Netflix or Amazon or Showtime or HBO or something and do one more. But I don't know, man. I don't know that I could
be that free.
I know I can't.
Oh, no.
I could never.
No, you can't.
The brand. No, no. Your whole brand now, an entire brand.
Oh, ready, Steve. Man. I'll do it.
You ain't got no brand.
I ain't got no brand.
And that's just the way you like it, Jay.
You're proud of me, Steve.
It'll sound just like it.
Hey, man, let me tell you something, though, man. I could write some stuff. So funny. But I've been suggested, they said, Steve, why don't you just do it in a different way? Why don't you just do the Steve today?
Well, write it, run it by us, and we'll let you know.
Yeah. No,
you know what Junior said about us earlier, Carly.
No, that's the problem. If I send it by y'all, my special ain't going to be funny at all. If
your special going to be good night. Love y'all.
That's it.
Oh, no, you
Shirley
and Carla.
Carla, get on y'all.
Dude,
Carla,
you can't say that.
You and Carla do not take any risk.
No, no.
Carla's going, we're not doing that, we're not doing that, we're not doing that. No. And we damn sure ain't doing that.
That's love right there, Steve. No. That's just
here's
love.
Here's Carla's line. Are you crazy? Have you lost your damn mind? You ain't doing that on here.
I'm just Steve. No, no.
But you need right. somebody like that.
All right, we gotta go. We'll be not back you. With more of this craziness. Great job, Steve.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
March primaries are this month, guys, and today is Election Day in Texas. Now keep this in mind, okay? The 2018 general election will be held on November 6th of this year, but today the Republican and Democratic parties nominate their candidates by primaries, okay?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're on the air in Houston,
right.
Dallas,
yep. right.
Austin,
yep.
Waco, Killeen, mm-hmm. and the polls are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. There are more than 50 women running for Congress. 50 women running for Congress, okay, in the state of Texas.
In Texas.
So if you're in Texas, do not sit out the primaries. We need more female representation.
Yeah.
Vote today, and then next Tuesday, it's the Florida primaries, all right? So we just want to make you guys aware we have to do our parts. We can't complain if we don't vote.
Well,
so we need to get out and vote. Jay, you have something going on at the
what
J
we
Spot,
do at,
right?
What we do at the J Spot, besides make your tacos late,
if you order them by the primaries today, you'll get them.
You'll have them by then. Yeah.
Generally, like
you have them by November.
Yeah, you have them.
And can I just say, I've had the tacos; they're delicious.
Yeah, but they weren't on time.
I ain't had the tacos yet.
Yeah. Oh,
well, if you're gonna ever have tacos, now would be a good time to order
them. Yeah, order early.
Order early. So by the time you get there, your tacos will be ready.
Yes.
But what we do every Tuesday is from Neil, my manager. They have a get out the vote because Tuesday somewhere there's a voting. This voting's
awesome.
Going on.
That's
pretty much
awesome, Jay.
So we have this forum where people sit down and talk about, you know, issues and you know, in the primary votes that are coming up across
kind of like
the
a town hall.
Like a little small town hall meeting and we do that at the club.
That's great, Jay.
That's great at the J Spot
at
in
J
LA.
5581 Westminster Avenue. Yeah.
Say it slowly so people can understand.
5581 Westminster Avenue, Los Angeles, California, right above the subway.
You know, we don't really do this no more, but March 6th, which is today, Miss Patty Turner, Detroit. I gotta show her love. Y'all don't know Miss Patty, but I know Miss Patty.
Who is that? Do we know her?
Yeah.
Who is
been
that?
Known her for years. Back in the day when I was with Michael Matthews, she used to be the wardrobe Mr. Shirley. She would be late to take care
Jesus Christ, executive producer.
Executive producer. All right, Miss Patty Turner, happy birthday, baby. You're 70 years old young. You're looking good.
Can I do a birthday shout-out, too, then, since we're
come on. Come on.
My aunt,
this is birthday shout-out Kona right here.
It sounds like it. Go ahead, Carla. Get yours in, girl.
My auntie in L.A., my Aunt Laura.
Oh, yes.
Today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Auntie.
Aunt Laura.
Oh, I love
what
you so
call?
Much. Well, you know she don't want me saying all that.
No.
Let's just say this. This is my auntie. She is Miss A.K.A.
Okay.
Is my auntie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, to the wee, Miss Laura.
A couple of weeks ago, my granddaughter, the Taj, had a birthday, and I didn't get it, so I'm getting it in. Happy birthday. Hey, Taj.
All right. Well,
and coming up, my aunt Lemmy, my mother's sister, her birthday is coming up March 10th. I would like to send some love and a birthday shout out to her.
Yes.
I know, but it's coming up.
Well, yesterday, y'all don't know him, but down at the barbershop, my partner Chris, that had our second chair on the right.
Uh-huh.
It was his birthday yesterday. He was 45.
And wait a minute, how could I forget my brother Fish?
His
birthday was March 2nd.
That's his nickname. Well, apparently, that's my nickname,
belated.
You missed it?
No, we talked. I called him.
Okay.
Yeah. Of course I called him.
So we got Miss Patty Turner.
Uh-huh.
We got Fish.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We got Miss Laura, a.k.a. Skin to the Week. We got Chris in the barbershop.
Yeah, Chris second chair on the right.
Second chair on the right.
Yeah.
And then who, Jay?
Taj, my granddaughter. Taj. Okay. Yeah.
Now, this ain't the favorite grandbaby.
No, not the favorite one, but she knows.
We got to go. Happy birthday, everybody. We love you guys. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Last week was chaotic at the White House. It was so much going on. But the president attempted, you know, made a little attempt at humor when he wanted to laugh it off last Saturday night during the Gridiron dinner. Some thought he might not participate at the Gridiron dinner in light of the resignation of communications director Hope Hicks last week and the admission that she told white lies to cover for Trump. Yet Mr. Trump not only attended, he made light of his troubles, joking, "It's been a really calm week at the White House." He also referenced the high turnover rate, saying, "Now the question everyone keeps asking is, who is going to be the next to leave? Steve Miller or Melania?"
Wow.
What?
Wow.
My name is Renette Jogan. Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Crickets.
Oh, my God.
Trump also joked out about his embattled advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner, whose top secret security clearance, we remember this, was downgraded last week.
Yep.
He blamed Kushner for the dinner running a bit behind schedule, saying it was late because Jared couldn't get through security. Wow.
Damn, he's working the room.
Yeah. Good thing you can laugh at yourself. This is pretty serious,
he's
though.
He's worse than me.
Those are actually pretty good jokes.
Yeah.
They were good jokes.
He had good joke writers. Yeah.
Shirley reading them is a little bit.
Losing a little bit?
Yeah.
A little bit. Just yeah. She reads very well, but she's too proper.
Oh. So, he was working the room, man. Yeah, yeah, I think there's no joke about his wife leaving. She might be leaving.
I never thought she was there to begin with.
You live there now?
Yeah. And you are?
I've never seen a guy so disrespectful of the First Lady in the White House, any of the presidents. You know, he'll get out the car and just get on the plane, just leave her. And never open the door for her, never.
I thought he doesn't know how.
He doesn't know any of that. Yeah.
But when
he's never done it.
Remember when he tried to grab her hand and stuff and she swatted him away or snatched back?
Yeah.
Oh, don't do this for the cameras. You don't do it any other time. Yeah.
Oh, so that's what it is. Oh, okay.
I mean,
she's saying
maybe.
But the way Obama, well, it's totally different. Obama and Michelle, I mean, that was just
true. But he had been doing that for
years.
Courtship.
Yeah.
Everything. He's just that guy.
Yeah, he's a gentleman.
And she required that.
Yeah, right. And they not only loved each other, but they actually liked each other too.
It was Melania.
Melania.
And I don't think he likes anybody. But the guy who's keeping that hairpiece together.
That's the one. Damn, Jack.
Gotta like him.
You gotta like him. Can't make him mad.
Can't make him.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we'll see how this week goes in the White House.
Man, people are leaving like crazy, man. Yeah.
Do anybody work there anymore?
I don't know.
I'm telling y'all, Sarah Huckabee.
You're saying she's on her way out, right?
I ain't saying she's on the way, but she can't do it.
You see cracks?
You can't keep lying like that. You're right.
I see it.
Yeah.
She drawing her eye makeup on different. He just stopped. He's getting thicker and darker, and she just stopped.
She ain't been laughing since she been in there.
It'll take a while to get into your head.
All right, coming up, the last break of the day with Steve's closing remarks.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hey, y'all, I got so much from this closing remark that I did yesterday that I'm going to play it back. Some people said I missed it. I heard about prayer. Could you please play it back? So I'm going to play my closing remark back today, okay?
Okay. Cool. All right, good. That was a good one, Steve.
Yeah. My closing remarks today is rather personal to me, as I'm sure it is with a lot of you when you hear the subject. But I want to try to encourage people to make this readily available to themselves. I can't even begin to tell you how effective this weapon has been for me throughout my life. How many times I have used this to help me, to comfort me, to soothe me, to guide me, to just make me feel like somebody's listening. I'm talking about the effectiveness of prayer. I want to remind everybody on a personal level of what prayer has meant to me. Now, I'm sure there are millions of people listening to me know exactly what I'm talking about, But sometimes you got to say it out loud as a reminder to yourself and just an offer to other people who might be struggling out there. Because everybody struggles with something. But every time I've truly struggled with something, prayer has been my most effective tool. It really is, man. The thing about prayer, the cool thing about prayer is you don't have to ask for nobody's permission. You don't need an appointment. You don't have to clear it with anybody. And I'm sure that, you know, people will share with you certain methods they use. But really, any way you do it, be just fine. You don't have to be on your knees. You know, if you want to, that's absolutely fine. But you could be on the public transportation. You could be driving. You could be sitting in your car. You could be in your cubicle. You could be at your desk. You could be at your workstation. You could be walking on the way to lunch. You can do it anywhere. So please don't wait until you have an available space or time. Because the thing about prayer and God, man, he's always available. The cool thing about prayer also, it doesn't require perfection. And what I mean by that is, you don't have to have yourself together to do it. This is a big one that people need to understand. Prayer does not require perfection. As a matter of fact, prayer doesn't require that you come to pray after you get it right. Matter of fact, you don't have to get it right. You don't have to be perfect. Prayer is for broken people. Prayer is for people that are confused. Prayer is for people who are unsure about the next move. Prayer is for people who are grieving. Prayer is for people who are hurting. Prayer is for people who feel alone. It's for people who got nowhere to go, who have no place to turn. Now, it would be good if you used it all the time. But let's be honest. A lot of times we wait till something is wrong. It's best to do it all the time. But if you are finding yourself in one of these positions of being broken, confused, unsure, hurting, grieving, alone, then it's available. Because the thing about God is he's merciful. He understands already that you're not perfect. He understands already that you only come to him a lot of times when you really need him. But the incredible thing about him is he's always there. That's incredible. God is behind the prison walls. He's inside of hospitals. God is down at the funeral home. God shows up, man, when he needed most. When he's needed most. And it doesn't matter. Because let me tell you what prayer has done for me. It has given me comfort. It has given me a surefire way to get real answers. Prayer connects us to the greatest source of power available to man. I'm just talking to you real, y'all. I'm just giving it to you the way I see it. Now, there are people who can explain prayer far better than me. I'm pretty sure there's some people in that pulpit can give you a cold, cold definition of prayer. But what if you ain't there that Sunday? I'm just telling you from a hood cat that prayer has worked for me. That it's got me through some of my darkest moments. When it seemed like everywhere I turned, they was against me. Prayer got me through it. Oh, I've done some things publicly, man. Lord have mercy, man. That I know would have crumbled me if it was not for prayer. Oh, I've had people talking about me that don't even know me. Ain't never met me. Just saying negative about me. You know what got me through it? Prayer. You know, when they all said I was this ignorant person on television? Prayer. When I was being called out of my name, what I felt was unjustifiably, prayer. Prayer. When they lie about me, drag my character and name through the mud with lies, prayer. Prayer. When I was homeless and living in that car, prayer. Prayer changes things. Just use it, man. Stop being
proud and use it, because prayer works. Pray. Don't ask nobody. Listen, don't forget to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray. And don't ever be too proud to pray, because prayer changes things. You can believe that. Y'all have a great weekend. It's already. I'm working this weekend too. Have a great weekend. Pray.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Okay, we gonna pray.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.